Okay, this is Corey Smart, and this is a Creative Disturbance podcast. I'm here with Dr. Jillian Round. You wanted to talk a little bit about performance art?
Maybe I can start with just my background.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to kind of, hopefully that will be a great segue. My background's in theatrical set production, but I also started out in technical theater. So my interest foundations were art, theater, and of course how those two bridge together, because really they're both cohesive in my eyes. And performance art, which looking at the background of performance art, really where it started, we can look, you know, back into the 1960s or even before that for foundations of performance art. But really the foundations I think that we should start at is the Fluxus movement, and talking about that during the 1960s, and how really the question that we need to talk about is, how did art change? Where was it? Where were the foundation? What is the background of art, and where do we belong today? How did it evolve? And my biggest thing for me, and this is just me personally, because that's really the only thing I can talk about, really 100%, is where did I come from? Where was my home? And I sought that during my dissertation research to find out, where did I belong in this grand scheme of things artistically? And mine, I found, was more camp and appropriation aesthetic, because I take things, but also campy behavior, because that's performance art. It's performance. It's all about putting artifice, putting a face on things, changing things, manipulating things. So what is performance? I want to think about the word performance itself, and what does that mean? And I don't know, what does it mean?
Well, I mean, to me at least, performance is usually the act of putting out something you create or something you try to bring to life.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with interpretation and understanding it in your own right. I do think that performance in itself is placing a face on something. When we perform something, are we ourselves? Or are we putting out a facade? Are we presenting something that is accurate, or are we presenting something that is not accurate? That's what I'm questioning on performance.
In many ways, it depends on what you're performing as well. A lot of, I would say, more modern performances are taking something that might not be yours, but putting your own face on top of it, or putting part of your face into it, trying to make something that is currently or was currently made and try to remake it in your own image. So in that way, I believe performance has, or especially performance art, has become more personable than it was in previous times. But I would say there is probably a little less originality, a little less original design coming out.
And why do you think that?
I don't know. It's just the feeling I see a little less original pieces coming out, or at least for me. I'm a musician, and I haven't noticed as many original performances, parts coming out as much as in the past. It seems like a lot of things are just more remodeling or remixes, redesigns of something that was previously made, or an idea that was previously, for lack of a better word, perfected.
Yeah, or overwhelming the market with one idea, and then next thing you know, everybody follows suit with that same idea. And I can
Very
see
true.
That, especially with the music industry, and you'll notice how patterns and trends repeat. Mm-hmm. But I think things are also cyclical, because really, don't we take and sample from ideas that were presented before us? And that's going back to that whole concept of researching. Researching what we do and finding out before we do it. One, to prevent copyright infringement, that's a great way of doing it. You know, was an idea done before us? We do the same thing in invention, right? When we invent an idea, we find out if a patent's pending. We find out if somebody authored something before us. And so I think the whole process is really interesting. It's even down to performance, which it seems like we went totally in an opposite direction, but isn't it kind of funny how all of this applies to together,
yeah,
like melds in this one little glued up ball?
Well, I would personally think research is maybe a little bit of a problem there too. The more you look into something to create something, the more you research it, and the more whatever you're researching influences what you're making. And I believe a while back it just started to take over a little bit more strongly. We started floating more towards the research end of it, which caused us to put a little less originality into what we were doing.
I use a heart, so basically research separates the heart from the piece itself.
I would say, unfortunately, we mistake that a lot. A lot of people tend to. For me, a lot of what I do, research really doesn't take away the heart. It just gives me new techniques or maybe a new idea that I can try to take off on my own.
Right.
But I've seen a lot of people nowadays who tend to just over-research it and definitely do lose a little bit of their own heart in it. They just see an idea they really like and they run with it and just kind of compound on it a little bit more than trying to redesign it or make it into a more performance.
Well, and, you know, even the very act of appropriation itself, if you think about appropriation, what it is appropriating an idea, appropriating maybe even a picture. Let's get literally down to it. Even rap itself is appropriating a song or a beat and then building upon that and reclaiming it for your own. Not necessarily taking away from the original idea, maybe changing the idea and making it better, building on a concept. And that's a lot of what my artwork is appropriation. Taking from one and reappropriating it, making it into your own name or amending an idea if you feel it's combative to a comment or combative to an idea.
Well, and in that way, do you feel like your research has ever hindered or caused you to lose a little bit of personal feeling towards
contrary to that, actually it's informed me more, because I think that when you apply or approach something totally blind, you're unaware of what's really out there. When you read about it, you realize that, you know, there are people who had the same thoughts as you that were relevant many, many years before you. And it's kind of like understanding after you get a certain age, you finally realize that your parents were right. And you don't realize it until you get a certain age and you finally find out. When you finally stop being stubborn and you start listening and you start researching and finding out, oh, really? They actually already knew this? And you thought that they were just idiots beforehand. Well, no, they've been there. They've done that, you know? So I think artistically that's so true. I mean, let's get back to music. If you want to talk about music, let's get back to the fundamentals. And let's talk about, you know, what is digital versus, you know, analog. And
very
looking
true.
At the quality of analog versus digital, I mean, our foundations are so necessary. And if we don't know our foundations, what are we going to know what quality is? And actually, that's a great question, too. What is quality?
Good point. I mean, quality has many different forms. And I think quality usually just kind of depends on the performance you want to give.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been in several performances myself, and each different time I had a different view of quality. There was a different thing I was focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I'm probably a little harsh on myself, so quality is usually how good was the worst thing I possibly did.
And your worst is probably 10 times better than most.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, no worries. But I mean, in that case, I'm sure that's the same with anything. Quality changes very drastically depending on what the performance is, who the person is, and what the goals are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure with performance art, the quality was considered differently. The interactive design that you had mentioned earlier, and the, what was it, set design?
Set design itself, yeah. And I mean, set design is merely a tool to be able to enhance theater expression, right? We do it, but it's kind of like what we were talking about a long time ago. In a class of mine, what I did is I mentioned that, you know, when you present a film, if the soundtrack is absolutely horrible, what are you going to have? You're not going to have much to send on, because people are not, it's not going to be believable. It basically takes that fourth wall and devours it, you know? It makes the whole experience just a miserable experience. I mean, for me especially, I will watch and I will critique a film if it starts out bad and define bad. But bad meaning, you know, bad soundtrack, just little details are not paid attention to, then the rest just pretty much fails.
Well, it's the same with
theater. Without a decent theatrical set design or a decent foundation or a decent effort, the whole thing could fail.
Well, and I mean, in that regards, I guess quality would almost, in a way, be synonymous to accuracy. or I guess acuteness, how well you pay attention to the details or how accurately you portray those details for certain things, at least for set design. I know I've dealt with many musicians who did the exact reverse. It worked out for them.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, paying attention to detail, I think, is a better way of putting it than maybe, I would say, accuracy, but detail. I think that, is detail necessarily accurate?
Fair point.
I mean, sometimes we'll take, and sometimes we intend to not take, you know. You get in the glitch expression, we purposely grab that which is glitchy, that which does fail, and we use that instead of the one, because is that necessarily failure? You know, I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Once again, failure is also probably part of the eyes of the beholder,
isn't it? And failure is sometimes necessary to be able to realize how good it really
is. Very true. I've had many failures, and for lack of a better word, I loved them, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Happy surprises.
Yes.
Happy accidents.
And yes, sometimes the worst failures lead to the best ideas later on.
Oh yeah.
I believe it was. Maybe it was Edison, who said, no, I did not find 1,000 ways that I failed to make a light bulb. I found 1,000 ways not to make the light bulb. Mm-hmm. All I needed was the one.
And any good designer knows that if you're, say, doing a logo design, that you do many, or you have many, many, many tries before you, quote-unquote, have success. And if that is even success, because I know I still go back to old designs and I go, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? And I always will improve, but you also have to learn how to put down the pen.
That's true. And in many cases, I know for at least us designers, sometimes it's not really up to us. Mm-hmm. The quality is we do what we think's best, and we let the customer decide later on.
There you go.
And I'm sure it's the same with some performance art, too. You put the best thing you can out on the stage, and then you let the audience decide.
And you also have to trust your first instinct on things.
Very true.
I sometimes think that we overanalyze process. So like you said, you know, is research necessary to be able to be successful? Let me correct everything and just say it this way. I can't speak for every individual out there, and that would be generalization, and that would be bad. I can say for me, successful is learning how to research properly, and what that did is that informed me so much about why I was doing what I was doing, because honestly it was like a deer in headlights. I approached my art and it was an instinct, but I really wanted to know why. Why was it instinct? Why did I decide to make this movement? Why did I decide to use this video versus this video? And who did this before me? And why was I drawn to collage? And why was camp important to me? And why did all of this? Why was all of this relevant to my work? And it really helped me come full circle.
Well, and I agree with that. I believe that research is necessary, completely. Mm-hmm. I believe that the only reason why research has taken some personality out of it is the fact that people aren't researching correctly anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just the idea of media now. Media has almost overflooded our entire lives with research of false data, great data, bad data, pretty much anything out there now. And it's getting more difficult to weed through that good research that will help you.
I can't name how many times that I've seen the potential of a great article on Facebook. You know, I don't know if that's an oxymoron or not, but a great article on Facebook, which there can be, and I don't look necessarily at titles, but I try. But after you're done reading the article, you go, wow, 10 minutes were just wasted, or 5 seconds were just wasted of my life, and I will never get those back. And you just look at, you know, the writing and the thinking behind it. Even that is research-based. So are arguments based off of solid foundation, or are they based off of, I think this is what it is? And I think too often is it, I think this is what it is, just because I think this is what it is. But anyways,
yes.
I think I'm going off on a tangent.
Oh, no worries. Okay, I believe that's all we have time for. This is Dr. Jillian Round.
Crazy.
Very congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Performance art, and best of luck in the future.
You rock. Thank you.